You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I am indeed your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, August the 22nd, as we broadcast live, unrehearsed, and uncensored from Memphis, Tennessee. This is the Political Cesspool. Got a couple of great guests for you tonight. Paul Fromm and Mark Weber coming up in the second and third hours, respectively. But before we get to them, did anybody catch what went on in Mobile, Alabama last night? 30,000 strong coming out in support for the candidacy of Donald Trump. It was the biggest gathering of the political season so far, 30,000. And what were some of the headlines that I saw this morning after that amazing turnout in the deep South? That is God's country down there, right in between Mississippi and the Florida Panhandle. And really, Florida all the way down just north of Orlando is still a very southern state. You have to go pretty deep down into Florida before the southern culture starts to wane. It's a great part of the country. Donald was there last night, but these were the headlines. Trump is the new George Wallace, you know, and that's supposed to be something, I guess, that makes people not want to vote for him. That makes me like him even more, if only that were true. I actually had a shirt that I bought about 10 years ago, a T-shirt. It read, "Death is no excuse, Wallace for president." Another one, Trump fails to fill stadium. Well, yeah, he was supposed to have a rally at a convention center that set, I think, 10,000 people. He ended up having 30,000. Sure, the football stadium held 40 or 50,000. He got 30,000 people there. It's the biggest rally for any presidential candidate so far in campaign 2016. But they didn't say, you know, 30,000. And this 30,000 is a figure that was provided to the Trump campaign from the office of the mayor of Mobile. So that's a non-biased number, 30,000. But the headline is not Trump brings 30,000 to rally. It's Trump fails to fill stadium. And then again, another headline, Trump campaigns in Alabama. But why? As if, you know, why would he go down to a state like Alabama full of all these racists? Well, he knows who his people are. They're the good people of the South. They're the good people who want to do something about illegal immigration, really all immigration, and they're the people who are sick and tired of political correctness. He came out last night to Sweet Home Alabama, for goodness sake. And then, of course, Mobile is the home of Jeff Sessions, who is probably one of about three United States senators who actually deserve their seat, along with Walter Jones and maybe one or two others. But Jeff Sessions has advised Trump on his immigration policy, and they're obviously working together. So he went down there, and it was just an amazing spectacle to behold, you know, flying overhead in his 757 jet is circling the stadium before he came. I mean, he's just a showman, and he's got America wrapped around his fingers. And I'm buying in, folks. Listen, I'm buying in. And I love the way he treats the media and the political elite as if they were just utterly despicable, which they are. He talks about them being stupid. This country is one of the only countries in the world that is stupid enough not to police its borders, and the people just go wild. I see signs saying I'm politically incorrect. Folks, these are our people. I have said for years, fundamentally, people agree with us on the issues that bring this show to life, and we're seeing that now in a very tangible way. And talking about that immigration policy paper, here's an excerpt from Trump's immigration policy paper, which was posted to his website a few days ago. Number one, a nation without borders is not a nation. There must be a wall across the southern border. He's calling it the Great Wall of Trump. Number two, a nation without laws is not a nation. Laws passed in accordance with our constitutional system of government must be enforced. And number three, from his policy paper on immigration, a nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. Any immigration plan must improve jobs, wages, and security for all Americans. And my only question is, can we vote yet? You know, can we vote yet? You know, because I would sure like to. And I'm telling you, folks, this is his thing to lose right now. The only way Trump loses this is if he, for whatever reason, decides he wants to drop out and he wasn't serious, or he gets assassinated. You know, that's the only two ways that I see him losing this thing. A week ago, his He was leading in the polls by a wide margin at 24%. A new poll came out last night, 32%. That's an increase of a percentage point per day. He'll have 100% of the vote by Christmas at that rate, folks. He is going to mop the floor with these career politicians. All of this deep-seated resentment of the media, of political correctness, of us turning our country into a third-world flophouse, these other guys, they just look like minor leagues compared to him right now. Is he a flip-flopper? Yes, he is a flip-flopper, if you want to call him that. But who cares? You know, I'd rather be wrong in the past and come to light and be right now. I don't mind if, you know, what are we doing this radio show? If it wasn't possible for people to change their minds and to come around to a healthy way of thinking, you know, what are we doing our outreach for? This is what we want. Certainly somebody can have a position in the past that was no good, and we take them at their word for now. But I'll tell you this, and I've said it before, there ain't another guy that I'd vote for. You know, it's not as if some firebrand populist conservative was doing well and he came in to steal their thunder. That just wasn't the case, you know, so there's that. But I'm going to talk about something here quickly that I don't think anybody else has talked about. I have a very loose, I guess you could say a very loose run-in with the Trump machine back in 1999. People forget this, and I don't think anybody's talked about it. But talking about him having a different position, say, 15 years ago than he does now, that's obviously true. And we might as well take him at his word that he is sincere now because, hey, what do we got to lose? There's a chance that he might be sincere because he's certainly not bought and paid for. There's a chance he could be sincere. With all the other guys, you know they're bought and paid for. You know they're handled by their special interests and their big money contributors. And I'll prove that in just a second. I'm going to prove that in the next segment. So with them, there's zero chance. Or if you prefer, 100% chance, you're going to get more of the same. With Trump, there is at least a chance that you can secure the border and have deportations. You know, and if there was one issue where I would say, you know what, I want this one issue to be solved, it would be immigration. Political correctness would be a close second. Do I agree with Trump on everything? Absolutely not. I disagree with him on Israel. I disagree with him on foreign policy. I disagree with him. He said in a recent interview he doesn't mind women serving in the military. I think that is nonsensical. That's absurd. You know, ridiculous, ludicrous. I don't care. You know, listen, if we're waiting for the guy that's going to check 9 out of 10 boxes for our audience, you know, Buchanan's not running anymore. So immigration and political correctness, you take care of that, you got my vote. And you know, the other stuff, these other guys aren't going to do anything about it either. So, you know, what do you lose? So I'm in with Trump for right now. Now, you know, he could do something between now and the election that changes my mind. I'm just talking about at this moment, based upon what I've seen since he's announced. God, I love watching him take on the media, though. Have you seen some of these interviews? Just incredible. But anyway, so 1999, Donald Trump was very much interested in battling Pat Buchanan for the Reform Party's nomination. The Reform Party had ballot access across the country in all 50 states in 2000, and they received federal matching funds because of Perot's showing in 96. I'm going to tell you a story about that. I had a hand in what happened there. I was a national committee member of the Reform Party. I'm going to tell you my story right after this.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so I got an interesting story about Donald Trump that nobody else that I've seen has covered. And all of this coverage, TV shows now on Fox and CNN are blowing off their entire programs just to play interviews with Trump, hour-long interviews, on these major anchor shows. On these networks, I mean, they love the ratings, that's for sure. And anyway, in 1999, though, in all of this coverage, I haven't seen this talked about, he flirted very seriously with jumping into the race to receive the Reform Party's nomination. Of course, that was the same year that Buchanan bolted the Republican Party and eventually won the Reform Party's nomination. Social issues dominated the debate as Trump and Buchanan both sought that nomination. Today, more than 15 years later, though, the two are finding common ground as Trump mounts, of course, this gargantuan Republican presidential campaign that may ultimately lead to his nomination. But back in 99, just before Buchanan was to announce his switch to the Reform Party, Trump announced that he had left the Republican Party as well to form an exploratory committee to run for the Reform Party's nomination. Back then, Jesse Ventura had just been elected governor of Minnesota on the Reform Party's ticket. And keep in mind, the Reform Party automatically had ballot access in all 50 states as a result of Perot's strong showing in 96. So it was a legitimate third party. I mean, as far as American politics are concerned, there were people that wanted that nomination because they received matching funds, they received the ballot access, and, they had a sitting governor in that party. So and Ventura wanted Trump to be the nominee of the Reform Party. Trump embarked on a media tour. He touted Oprah Winfrey as his ideal running mate. He referred to Pat Buchanan as a Hitler lover, an anti-Semite, so on and so forth. He doesn't understand how anybody could embrace a guy like Buchanan. This is what Trump said in 99. In response, Pat said he wouldn't engage in name-calling and said that the Reform Party nomination can't be bought and the presidency can't be bought. Here's the thing about the Reform Party that was very interesting. It's amazing to me as you watch what's happening now. Trump has completely taken over first place in the Republican primary, but he could not take over the Reform Party's apparatus. And here's why. The Republicans have their primaries, right? And everybody that's a Republican in every state gets to go and vote for their candidate of choice. Well, the Reform Party didn't work that way. The Reform Party was left up to the national committee members and the delegates to pick who the nominee was going to be. It didn't come down to the general public. And as soon as Pat announced he was going over to the Reform Party, we had a hostile takeover. Now, there was really wasn't a lot of infrastructure, so the Buchanan Brigades, of which I was a part, we went in there and we took over all the Reform Parties in all of these states, including Tennessee, where I was one of three national committee members, a delegate to the nominating convention, and the treasurer of the party here in Tennessee back in 99. And of course, I came over to the Reform Party, you know, exclusively because of Buchanan. Well, all the parties were loaded up with Buchananites, and so Trump was blocked. You know, it's amazing. He'd take over the Republican Party, but he couldn't get the Reform Party because of the way that the nominees were selected. And Trump eventually gave up his bid for the Reform Party. Jesse Ventura left with him, and he said that the party was too divided to be successful. Of course, Buchanan went on to receive the party's nomination, and didn't do very well, obviously, on Election Day. But it was a great time for me. I really enjoyed my time working on that campaign, and really it got me involved in politics, and the rest is history. But now, in the year 2015, I think Buchanan's written three consecutive pro-Trump columns. Trump is calling Pat Buchanan a man of action, and in the New York Times, in an interview I read recently, Trump says that Pat Buchanan supporting me, mentions him by name, and wouldn't you just know it? How's this for irony? The Washington Post just this weekend warns that if Donald Trump is elected, it could end in another Holocaust, comparing him directly to Hitler. That just drips with salacious irony. But you know what? I don't care about any of that. That was in 1999. That was a long time ago. Bygones be bygones. It looks like everybody's on the same team now, or it would at least appear that way. But here's the alternative. As I said, Trump could be genuine. He could be sincere. Let's look at the other people. Scott Walker. Now, this is a guy that's socially conservative. Now, everybody, because Trump is saying he's going to, he knows the border is a winning issue. Now, everybody else is a hard line to secure the border. But here is Scott Walker. You know, these puppets that own them, these big financial backers, they own the candidates. These candidates do not think for themselves. So we got this sugar daddy, and they're pulling the strings behind the scenes for all these candidates. They call the shots, not the candidates, not the voters. Walker veered to the right on abortion and other social issues so far in this campaign, but it worried his top backer. Oh, that's just so sad. His name's Stanley S. Hubbard. He's a so-called conservative, and that name really means anything now. A billionaire who oversees a Minnesota broadcasting company. Now, he's really the big money donor to Scott Walker, and he said, you know what, you don't need to be – this is what he said exactly. If you're smart, this is Hubbard telling his boy what he's going to do, Walker, you're going to get back to the basics – and you're going to get off the social issues, to which Walker replied, and this was in a major newspaper, this conversation. He said that, he was asked about his views on social issues, but don't worry, if he gets elected as president, he will not push a social agenda. And he's just expressing his personal beliefs when asked. So Hubbard then said, okay, well, I'll keep giving you money, but I mean, this is how it goes. And how about Rand Paul? Now, I don't know, there's no Rand Paul fans here in this audience anymore, I don't guess. But he was down in Haiti. Did you hear about this Rand Paul down in Haiti? He's trying to suck up some money from a billionaire Republican donor by the name of Gary Heaven. He's a Texas-based founder of the Curves Fitness Center franchise. Now, Heaven has been active in a Haitian charity since 2010. And he said he hasn't decided yet if he's going to support Paul formally, but he's already ruled out the other candidates. And he says that he might support Rand Paul, but, quote, he's got to be confident in his ability to influence his decisions. So this is what you're going to get. You know, there's no doubt about it. With anybody else than Trump, they're bought and paid for. Could Trump be a false flagger? Could he be fool's gold? Could he be insincere? Yes, absolutely. But I'm telling you, there is at least a sliver of a chance that he could really feel this way about immigration. And I heard people asking him, well, what about if you said one of your businesses, you know, you had somebody who was a illegal alien, or they call him an undocumented worker. He said, well, I got to do the right thing. They got to go. And of course, they try to tug on the heartstring. Well, what if they had kids? They got to go, you know. He didn't back off of that. And, you know, for me, that speaks. Am I in love with the guy? Am I placing all my hope and faith in the future of the country on him? No. Absolutely not. But if you got to go vote, who else are you going to vote for? Out of those, out of the candidates that have announced in the duopoly, who are you going to vote for? Who would you vote for besides him if you got to vote for somebody? You know, that's where I am with the whole thing. I got an interview that we're going to post. It's an uncut interview, which you rarely get to see. But it was on CBS or NBC. It was an NBC interview with a young reporter, female reporter named Katie Tour. And if you pardon the expression, he really spanks her, you know, in the interview. And it's interesting because it's 20, 30 minutes of raw footage, and he just really puts her – it's worth the full viewing. We're going to post that on Monday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. He really shows you how to handle a hostile interview. And even if he is insincere, it just goes to show that I have been right about our people. You know, our people are coming out for him because they believe he is the guy that's speaking out on the issues that animate this program. He cloaks our people, I guess, in a certain way. They're no longer silent. Matter of fact, he said in advance of his appearance in Alabama last night that the silent majority is roaring. The silent majority, of course, that goes back to Nixon's Southern strategy. It's a white Southern voter initiative. And he also was unrelenting on his choice of words with regards to anchor baby. Reporters said he should call them children of undocumented workers. He said, no, I'll call them anchor babies. Well, there you have it. We'll be back with more right after this, and two great guests forthcoming as well.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. You know, I couldn't talk about Donald Trump in Alabama without talking to Courtney from Alabama. And Courtney from Alabama is sort of an unofficial mascot for us. And I mean that in the most endearing and respectful way. She is intelligent, wholesome, attractive, an overall good person, and she really represents the very highest caliber of our audience. And we're lucky to have her contribute to the program in different ways. And in addition to being a loyal listener and a donor, she also comes on from time to time to provide some on-air content. And she wrote a great article for us. I guess it was last Friday, maybe, when we posted it, a week ago Friday. And it was about how the West has surrendered the Olympics to the Far East. And it's an interesting read. I would encourage you to check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But anyway, with Alabama being all the rage right now, we wanted to go to someone from that particular state. Courtney, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very good. And it's good to have you tonight. So, Alabama, I know you weren't at the Trump rally last night, but you watched it with interest and took interest in it. And tell us your thoughts about it, why he was there, and how you receive him as a native Alabamian.
Well, you know, I think I watched bits and pieces of it with my fiance. I didn't really catch the whole thing, I hate to say. But I, you know, my impression of him is, he's the only person talking about the border situation, and, you know, he doesn't mind being called politically incorrect, and he's not part of the old establishment. I mean, I heaven forbid another Bush or Clinton gets into the White House this term. And, you know, and I just, you know, I haven't been researching as much as I should be. You know, I've been busy with the wedding planning, but, you know, once I started hearing more and more about him, I was like, well, maybe we have some hope, and maybe I should start following this some more. You know, maybe the Republicans might do this right, I hope. So they, you know, they don't need to do him like they did Buchanan. That would be the dumbest thing to
I think when a guy, you know, has 34% of the vote in a 17-way race, that it's going to be hard for them to shut him out as they did with Pat. Number one, you know, Pat never had the money and the financial backing to compete on a nationwide level, even after he won, you know, a few primaries in 1996 as the Republican candidate, you know, that especially that big New Hampshire primary. I mean, Trump, I don't even think he accepts donations. You know, this guy's a multi-billionaire, and you know, so he completely circumvents that to an extent. And it's hard, you know, when these polls come out that the media can ignore him. And plus, he gets them so, you know, such huge ratings that has to factor in. But you told me, now I want people to hear it from you, but, you know, again, it's hard to say what will happen between now and March 1st when Alabama and Tennessee vote in the primary. But if the election was tomorrow, who do you vote for, Courtney?
Based on what I know now, and trust me, I need to do a lot more research, but based on what I know now, I'd pick him, mainly for the three reasons I went into. And that might sound shallow. I mean, there's more about him I need to find out, but he sounds like the best we have. I mean, he's a change. He's not part of the establishment. There's just so many reasons I like him. The main thing is the border situation.
And you could always find things with which you disagree. I probably, and there's a chance I could disagree with him on more things than I do agree with him on, but political correctness and the way he treats the media and immigration just so far overshadow the other stuff. Yeah, I disagree with him on, like I said, a couple of the issues. I don't know where he stands. I doubt he's going to take a righteous stand on the homosexual marriage issue, the so-called, you know, homosexual marriage issue. There might, you know, but hey, listen, demographically we're getting swamped. If we can at least stop the invasion, if we can turn back the clock with these deportations, yeah, it's still a great chance that it won't happen the way he's saying he would do it, even if he gets elected. I know that. I'm not naive. I've been around the block many, many times. But if there's a chance, it's worth the chance, because, like I said, there's nobody else that I would get. You know, there's nobody else running in either of the two parties that I would get off the couch for and take the time to drive down to the polling place and pull a lever for if he weren't in the race. I would just wait. And even with him in the race, I'm still going to vote for the American Freedom Party. I'm going to vote for Bob Whitaker in the general election because Tennessee's going to go red anyway. So I can vote my conscience there. But I don't want to spend too much time on that, Courtney, because I know time is limited. And we've got such a busy show tonight. We only have you for one segment. But another story out of Alabama this week that we posted to the website that I certainly wanted to get your opinion on. You're not only a couple of years removed from your university days yourself, and you did graduate from a university in one of the southern states. We won't say which one or where, but you're familiar with, what goes on in colleges. Well, one of the sororities at Alabama, it was Alpha Phi, I guess it was. They're getting lambasted as being racist, feminist, lacking diversity, and objectifying women. Now, this is, of course, an all-girl sorority. Can you break down the story in your own words? Because I know you were looking it up earlier today, and tell us your thoughts on it.
Okay. I did go to a university in the South, in Alabama. I won't say which one. I appreciate your discretion. But, yeah, you know, I watched that video, and aside from the, you know, slightly rap-sounding music and the gyrating, apart from that, I liked it. I mean, well, I didn't like the part where they had the, you know, out of all football players they could have picked to be on the field, they picked, you know, the black one. But other than that, I thought, you know, it was pretty accurate. You know, I went to a university that's in Alabama, I won't say which one, and that's what the sorority girls looked like, beautiful, mostly blonde. I mean, that's what they looked like. And, you know, why do you think a lot of people from up north like to sometimes come to our universities? I mean, you know, I was running into male students on my campus who were always talking about how beautiful and feminine the women were, and I thought that was kind of an accurate portrayal, the appearances at least.
Right. And if it had been an all-black social club or an all-black sorority without a white in sight, as I wrote on our website. And by the way, folks, at thepoliticalcesspool.org, we've got the video. It was a recruitment video for this particular sorority that raised the ire of the national media. They said that what exactly did they say in addition to what I said a moment ago? It was racially homogenous, God forbid, and hyper-feminine. You know, how dare these, you know, 18 to 22-year-old women act feminine? I mean, this is obviously a sin in America. But if it had been an all-black club, an all-black sorority, it would have been no controversy whatsoever. And it's not as it stands. But the fact of the matter is, Courtney, you tell me if you agree or disagree, but this is what I wrote on our website. These young women were being attacked and are being attacked because they're Southern, they're beautiful, and they're members of an implicitly white and, yes, indeed, racially homogenous organization. And there's absolutely nothing wrong at all with any of those things. They are the ones being subjected to hate for those very reasons. And one of our commenters on the website wrote this, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. At the core of the left is a hatred for beauty. You see it in art, in fiction, in music, and, you know, certainly there's nothing in the world more beautiful than a young woman. And so the left hates that. In addition to hating our people, they hate beauty, and they hate everything that's good, essentially, Courtney. And that's what I'm seeing here. But folks, check out the video and pictures. We've added those. You know, we wanted to do our due diligence at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Courtney, your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. Feminists, you know, they attack stuff like that. They attack beauty, just like that tennis player that did the twirl on television. They attack beauty, but they support pornography. I mean, you know, that's what they need to be doing. If they're going to go after something, go after these R-rated movies that are so perverted, and go after the pornography if you're going to go after something. But they don't. They support that stuff. They say it's the woman expressing her sexuality or something stupid. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I mean, so, yeah, I agree with you on that.
So here we have somebody not very far removed from her college years at all, very little amount of time removed from her college years, and you're saying nothing wrong there whatsoever. This is something, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, well, you mentioned, you know, a little, you know, you would have perhaps tweaked the video a little bit, but overall, I mean, this is something, these women should be proud of who they are, how they look, and there's nothing wrong with them choosing to associate with people who look like them, believe like them, talk like them, act like them, share whatever it is that their common denominators are, right?
Exactly. And none of them were fat. I'm surprised that wasn't brought up. Well, I guess it was kind of brought up. But
well, you can certainly find the news on that story. It made big headlines earlier in the week, and we've got a piece on our website about that. Courtney, I don't know if time's going to permit us to really get into this to the extent that I would have liked, but I mentioned it a moment ago, and I'd like to mention it again. On August 14th at thepoliticalcesspool.org, we posted an exclusive column written by the one and only, the talented Courtney from Alabama, "The West Surrenders the Olympics to the Far East." Like I said, I don't think we're going to have time for her to really break down that article, but you can read it for yourself in her own words there on the website. So I would encourage everybody to do that. Leave her a comment if you'd like, and check out what she has to say about all of these non-European nations getting the Olympic Games all the way through 2022, as it stands now. We're exporting our heritage in another way. So check it out. Courtney, thanks for being on with us tonight. We'll be back with Scoop Stanton.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Fast and Furious tonight, folks, and we're moving right along. And don't forget, Paul Fromm with us at the top of the second hour. He was persecuted by the Department of Homeland Security. I tell you, there's a lot of common themes tonight. Donald Trump was called the next Hitler by the Washington Post. The Washington Post also wrote a negative article about me this summer, a couple of months ago. And Paul Fromm will be on to tell us about his persecution at the hands of the Department of Homeland Security. I was harassed by the Department of Homeland Security earlier this summer. So I tell you, they're going after all the good guys. What can I say? But we got Scoop Stanton on here now, and for his weekly segment, he's got a rundown of news, three or four quick hits on different stories. We're going to turn the floor over to him to break it down, and then we'll have a little back and forth ourselves. Scoop, take it away.
All right. Thank you, James. Good evening, everybody. First, I'd like to thank James from Exit Bell Bonds in Northern Virginia to the listening family. This is a very rare occasion for me to actually meet a patriot such as James. So Jared Fogle from Subway, he needs to contact Exit Bell Bonds before he starts getting all those footlongs, whether he wants them or not. Okay, Dateline Birmingham, Alabama. On August 7th, a detective with the Birmingham Police Department conducted a traffic stop. Words are exchanged for the two individuals in the car. A struggle ensued, and the detective, whose name is being withheld, was pistol-whipped into unconsciousness. The detective later said he was hesitant to shoot because of the media scrutiny. Dateline, Carson City, Nevada. Sheriff Deputy Carl Howell was shot and killed when responding to a report of a domestic dispute. Fortunately, Deputy Howell was able to return fire and kill his attacker, Jonathan Pope, 31. Which is interesting about this is that there's no pictures or information given about Mr. Pope. But thankfully, he's no longer with us. Now, I'm sure if Deputy Howell would like to have the same or would rather be alive than dead than the deputy in Birmingham, Alabama. But we'll talk about that later. Also, it's been a bad week for firefighters also. Dateline, Staten Island, New York. Lieutenant James Hayes was shot in the hip and ankle when a wanted man named Garland Tyree set fire in the basement apartment he barricaded himself in. After a six-hour standoff, Tyree was shot and killed by New York's finest. New York was in capable hands as Mayor Bill de Blasio was working out at his gym in Brooklyn while the standoff and shooting was going down. I guess the mayor could not forego his after-workout rubdown with Ricardo to be bothered to get to the hospital or to the scene of the standoff, despite the fact the Verrazano Bridge was in the same borough as his gym. Dateline Baltimore, Maryland. A 43-year-old Baltimore City firefighter and a 65-year-old man were shot outside a firehouse in Liberty Heights. The firefighter was in uniform. It appeared the shooter was aiming at the two men. No one has been arrested yet and no motive for the shooting. Okay, back to Missouri. Dateline St. Louis, Missouri. While executing a search warrant, two white St. Louis cops shot and killed a black man running from the house that was pointing a stolen gun at them. Also, the young man had some crack cocaine in his possession. Local residents showed their appreciation for St. Louis's finest getting taken care of business by rioting. But finally, in Ferguson, Missouri, some really sad news. 9-year-old Jemiah Bolden was doing homework in her bedroom, on her bed, when a stray bullet struck and killed her. There's no Black Lives Matter protests, no comments from Obama saying if he had another daughter, she'd look like Jemiah. No Department of Justice investigation, no NBC posting up, no CNN commentators sitting there with their hands up, don't shoot, absolutely nothing. Of course, the only people talking about it happens to be the Council of Conservative Citizens and the political cesspool. James, back to you.
Scoop, great job tonight, giving us a wide variety of topics, all very important. But I actually had pulled up on my screen here at the radio station that story you mentioned last. This 9-year-old girl. Look, she was an innocent. I have a 5-year-old daughter. I mean, God knows my heart breaks. I don't know what this girl would have gone on to be as an adult, but she was an innocent. She had, you know, should have had the right to make her choices going forward. 9-year-old, you know, black girl on her bed doing her homework, and she gets shot by a stray bullet. Now, if Black Lives Matter, you know, why haven't we heard anything about her? Well, it was because, of course, she was killed, as is so often the case in the black community, by other blacks. And if there had perhaps been greater police presence, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But they've done everything they could to run off the cops, to alienate cops, to make cops not want to act, not patrol their neighborhoods, not get involved. That this is the thing. And You know, it's just a shame, though. I mean, you know, like I said, our hearts break for you know, over this story. That's just a tragedy. But the media is not on this. The Obama administration is not on this. Her life didn't matter to the people because there was no political exploitation to be gained. Now, let's go back to Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama, this is unprecedented to my knowledge. And I saw this on Fox News. I never sleep. I can't sleep. I'm always working. And when I'm not working, I've got a 9-month-old son who's just as rowdy as you could imagine. And he's up, and my daughter wakes up early. So, you know, I'm always up. So I was up early last Sunday morning before we went to church. And I saw this story, and I texted Scoop. You know, it was about 7 in the morning last Sunday. And I said, you know, you're not going to believe this. A cop got pistol whipped with his own weapon, you know, because he was afraid to act for fear of being called a racist. So here you have a white cop gets pistol whipped by a black man. And they asked him, well, how in the world did this happen? And he just says, you know, he was you know, hesitant to act because he didn't want media scrutiny. He didn't want to get fired. He didn't want to lose his career. He didn't want to, you know, risk going to trial if he had, you know, stood up and shot, you know, at this guy or defended himself. And then we had, of course, in Memphis 3 weeks ago, white officer gets killed by a career black criminal who had, you know, just gotten out of jail for robbing a bank. So he was a great member of society, obviously. And, you know, he's dead. Maybe that played a role in his death. You know, this fear of, you know, following protocol, this fear of putting down a suspect, you know, when the situation warrants. But, yeah, my goodness, is this what we've come to in America? You know, so I just want to thank the Obama administration. I want to thank the Justice Department. I want to thank the media for creating this kind of environment for people like Officer Bolton here in Memphis, for this officer in Birmingham, and, you know, certainly for to the role that they played in the death of this 9-year-old girl in Ferguson. And there were riots in Missouri last week, but it had to do with the cop, the black guy that got shot in St. Louis after he pulled a gun on cops. You know, they'll protest that, but, you know, no sympathy for this 9-year-old innocent girl. You know, we're showing more sympathy than any of them. You know, and so anyway, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. America is a very sick place. Scoop.
Well, James, good to back to Ms. Bolton. You know, we mentioned it, and we feel sorry for her. Our thoughts and prayers go for her family. But then the FPLC, hey, you know, call us the racist. Meanwhile, again, nothing from Al Sharpton, Jesse Jerkson, Attorney General Lynch, what's her name, Melissa Harris-Perry, nothing. But again, I'm sure, you know, if back to Carson City, Nevada, I'm sure if Deputy Howell had the opportunity, he'd draw his weapon and shoot the two people in Birmingham. But, you know, here's 6 words about Birmingham. Officer safety, officer safety, officer safety. Darrell Wilson drew his weapon and shot Michael Brown. Despite all the issues Darrell Wilson has, he can hug his family at night. He can see his family. He can see his kids grow up and become something. But Deputy Howell can't. So all you law enforcement types that do listen to the show, guess what? Your family comes first. You know, come home from work at night, bring home a pizza instead of one of your coworkers coming home with a folded up flag. Also,
well, you know, well, it's like they always say very quickly, Scoop, you know, better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6 or however that saying goes. But, you know, the thing about it is you should be able to do your job. And the only people that the government, the media, and these black malcontents are hurting, the people they're hurting the most with their outlandish and ridiculous behavior, I mean, really, they're just taking advantage of a situation to loot and rob and act like savages, you know, the people that are out there doing that kind of stuff. But they're only hurting their own communities. They're only hurting people like this 9-year-old girl by making their war against police officers who try to uphold some semblance of law and order in their communities. And so that, you know, they're victimizing themselves even further. Scoop.
Okay. Back to the fire department. New York's finest, don't worry, because now I guess Mayor de Blasio hates New York's bravest, too. I'm sure if some cop called some piece of trash the N-word, Bill de Blasio would stop whatever he's doing and run over there with lights and sirens to find out what's going on. That's absolutely despicable that Mayor de Blasio couldn't stop doing his getting his bodies on and, you know, go see the firefighter and, you know, tell him, wish him the best. So, you get what you vote for. And I'm sure New York City's having voter remorse. They're yearning for the days of Giuliani. But again,
Right. No, he couldn't be interrupted from his workout. By looking at him, you couldn't tell he worked out much. He couldn't be interrupted from his workout to tend to the, you know, firemen who had been savaged.
Right. And here's the thing. He was working out in Brooklyn when his staffer got the phone call. Hey, we got a situation in Staten Island. He should have jumped in one of the many luxury sedans with lights and sirens and just hauled, you know what, across the Verrazano Bridge. But again, he could not be bothered because he had to worry about doing his plies, getting his rub down in by Ricardo, and thinking about how to turn New York into a third world hellhole like all his predecessors of the Democratic Party did.
That's our wrap-up from the police blotter this week. We'll be back with more in the second hour. Paul Fromm up next.
Go away.
Thank you, Scoop.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.